You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:06 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice. Local news and talk. I'm happy to convene the second hour of the 27th Annual Pizza Summit, Wake Up Tucson Pizza Summit. We have Sean McCluskey.
How we doing?
Rincon Pizza. Rincon Pizza. Rincon Ventures Pizza.
It's only pizza at home. I don't make pizza in the office.
Diversifying.
Matt Russell on the menu.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I couldn't be better. I mean, look, I'm surrounded by some really, really good dudes. I mean, this is fun. We're talking pizza. We're talking pie. We're talking competition. We're talking Tucson originals. We're talking local independent. I mean, that's why we're here, brother.
What's in the most recent on the menu this week? What should we be looking for?
The one that hasn't come out yet? You mean you want me to tease a story that has not published? All right.
So, I don't want you to get you in trouble with the guys on the Jolt that you do some work with.
Jolt. So, of course, I write the food and beverage column for Inside Tucson Business and a lot of the times Tucson Weekly as well. Anyway, July is National Pickle Month. Cue applause. So my story says, look, what is it about the pickle? Thank you. What is it about the pickle that equates with, you know, doom and gloom, right? You know, you're in a bad situation, you're in a pickle. You're running the bases and you're being closed in by two defenders to try to tag you out where you can go to the dugout and hang your head in shame. You're in a pickle. Let's talk about the pickle and all of its majesty. How can we evolve it from, you know, gratuitous garnish to something that restaurateurs are really taking seriously? So I sat down with two local restaurateurs who are doing some pretty cool things with the pickle, and it's not just, you know, rendered off to the side of the plate. It actually anchors some dishes and drinks in town. So that will be in next week's Inside Tucson Business.
That's what I love about Matt, right? He can get you excited about a pickle.
You got to embrace the pickle. Hey.
You know, that fine line between genius and psychotic. That's what I love about it.
Scotty Lehman concurs.
That's right.
I can't really.
You got to get on that mic. Remember, lick the mic, David Lee Roth.
I can't really spill any secrets, but there may or may not be a pizzeria that's doing some version of a pickle pie.
Okay.
Look at you.
Can you just sort of, you know, I'm a writer, and you need to call me with these things.
That's Matt Cable, by the way. With who's doing it, it's going to be good.
Okay, cool.
It's going to be good.
I'm intrigued.
Does the place rhyme with Esco?
It does not. It is
or Epe.
No. Some people openly talk about what they're doing. Some people, Mike Elefante, are like,
I'm just over here getting less worried about the competition.
Thank you. Well played. Matt Cable, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
I hear our pizza throwdown is sold out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's sold out. Two people refunded tickets. Sold out again.
I bet. So it's going down at your place, Speedway and Country Club.
Yes, sir.
And how many people are going to be making pizzas as part of this thing?
How many participants?
Yeah.
So we have 13 restaurant participants, and we have some people donated some alcohol to the Tucson Originals for us to sample as well. We have one of the restaurants is just doing dessert.
So I know she was just here.
She was just here.
You're all in trouble.
Yeah. Well, she's just doing dessert. Actually, there's two restaurants only doing dessert. Dante's Fire as well will only be doing dessert. Everyone else is either doing pizza or pizza and dessert.
Now, is it possible that a beer and pretzel cupcake is going to win the pizza throwdown? I mean, is she entering her cupcakes into the pizza competition?
Matters how much of that free alcohol is.
So I will tell you that Ken Foy. Yeah. Of Dante's Fire is a magician when it comes to desserts. But if there's anyone that can hang with Ken, it might just be Mary and Susan over there at Gourmet Girls. So it's going to be good.
Who's this young man to your left?
This is Joe Spina of Mama's Pizza.
Hello.
Joseph Michael Spina III.
Hold on, can we
get the full name in there?
Can we say it right? Is Joe Spina of
Mama's Pizza.
That never gets old.
So you guys grew up together, is what I hear.
Yep.
How did you guys first meet? And get on that microphone, remember.
Our family's own
closer,
restaurants.
Like that mic.
Right next door to each other. Matt's family owned a gelato and Italian ice company called Gina's, and we had our second location right next door to them.
Okay.
And this was in the 80s. Yep. So we were young. I can't say, maybe 8-9 years old.
How old were you when you started working in your dad's place?
11.
Okay.
Wow. Actually,
that's older than I thought.
actually, it's not actually true. It was 11 when I learned how to make pizza.
Okay.
But prior to that, when I was 7 or 8 years old, I used to stand up on a step stool and crush tomatoes to make the sauce. Yeah, I mean, they didn't have the labor laws then. I wasn't supposed to be operating that equipment. But I was just pushing tomatoes into a grinder and just being around the restaurant, hanging out with my grandparents and my family.
Cable's dad had him with a chisel getting the ice.
Vinny definitely kept us busy.
So talk about, you guys went to Cross together in CDO High School.
Yep.
Go Dorados.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about when you guys were in high school, did you think you were going to go into the food business as you were, you know, juniors? I don't know if you even remember. Did they have guidance counselors at CDO?
So things were different then. We were already
in. Now we just have sensitivity counselors at
CDO. We were already
CDO.
In the food business. We were already in the food business. It's just a question of whether we were going to make it out, I think, is the real question.
that's actually a real true statement. You know, I think that Matt and I are tradespeople. You don't really think about restaurant people as tradespeople. You know, you think about, you know, carpenters or, you know, people that grow up and they just do what their fathers did. But, you know, we were tradespeople and we were raised in that business. And being raised in that business, you see the ins, the outs, you see the tough things, you see the fun parts of it. You don't appreciate the fun parts as much. But I think that you are, in some ways, you know I tried to do different things, but it was always everything I tried to do was always in an entrepreneurial spirit. And here I am at this point in my life where I've come back to it, and I have a kid now. I have an 8-month-old son.
Oh, right on.
I'm a first-time dad. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And I have an appreciation for it now that I didn't even have
sometimes
a year
kids
ago.
Resist what their fathers did, right? Did you guys ever have that tendency of resisting what your fathers did?
Well, when I was 17, I wanted to get paid more. My father did not want to pay me more. And
that's a short negotiation, Cable.
It came to a head, and I quit, and I went and got a job at Swenson's just to piss him off.
That's a great story.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Did they pay you more?
They did pay me more. At the time, you know, the staff at Swenson's was more palatable. the front of house staff specifically, than sitting alone in an ice cream shop all day.
I just saw they went out of business, that spot, whatever it became afterwards. But
yeah, there's
so
Sullivan's.
Many, yeah,
Sullivan's.
So many memories for kids on the Northwest Side going there with their parents.
The train
and
going around on top of the thing.
When did you guys, we'll start with Joey, when did you kind of really appreciate what your dad and your grandfather went through? When did it finally click with you, like, you know?
After the forced apprentice.
Right.
Apprentice.
Right. I think the past, this is so weird how unrelated this is, but it's related for me.
We do weird and unrelated on the show all the time.
Well, here we go. I think the pandemic kind of situation really made it sink in for me, because it was, I just had to, it occurred to me one day that the most important thing to me financially was the freedom to succeed or fail on my own terms.
Sure.
And at the beginning of all that, we were presented with this unique set of circumstances. And just diving into that and navigating it made me appreciate it more.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, let's do this. Hey, Matt, let's go to break. We'll come back. I want to talk about pizza. This is a pizza summit. It was great finding out about your relationship together. But we come back, I want to talk about pizza because that's what we're doing and how they're making their pizza and, you know, and just, you know, everything we need to learn about pizza to make it happen. So McCluskey, Russell, Spina, Cable, ESQ's on the other side of the glass. Wake up, Tucson, 10 through the voice, local news and talk. All right, 8:22 in the morning. We're doing. We're in the middle of the 27th annual Tucson Wake Up Tucson Pizza Summit. McCluskey, Russell, Espina, and Cable. We're talking about pizza, of course. We're going to take your calls coming up in the next segment. I'd love to hear where you guys are eating your pizza. So, Matt, let's start with you. How would you describe the pizza at Fresco? Where do you land on your type of pizza?
Well, definitely doesn't fit into New York style, deep dish, Neapolitan, any of that. It's, I guess, other. If
okay.
there was a box.
So what's the elements of other?
You know, we have a little bit thicker hand-tossed crust, but like basically think of a slightly thicker New York style.
Okay.
You know, what really sets Fresco apart is we're pretty much a scratch kitchen. Everything we do, we're pretty much doing in-house. Like you know, like for bacon, we get in pork belly, we cure it, we smoke it. Same, instead of getting in ham, we cure and smoke whole pork loins. We slice it. That's what we use for our ham. We grind our own sausage.
Sounds pretty Fresco.
It is. We even pickle our own jalapenos.
Do you pickle your own pickles? That's what we want to know. The guy did a damn story, for God's sakes.
Sometimes we do. See? We actually just drop them in with the jalapeno pickle. It works great.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
So yeah, I guess it's just, so really no rules. Like I said, it's.
How about your dough? What are you using for a flour, if you can?
I'm a bouncer, a base date, high gluten. I love that flour. I tried a few different, I tried General Mills. I tried the, funny enough, like people like Full Power. But for me, it's just the oven I use, it's the right flour for me.
How about Zio? What's the difference in Zio?
Zio's a little bit different. Over there, we use Caputo 00 as our base flour. Then we use some hard red wheat that we source from BKW Farms, and then a little bit of mesquite flour that we get from, most of the time we get from Miskashita,
okay.
Refugee Network. And so it's not a high percentage of the hard red, so it's not like a heavy wheat crust, but it's just enough to give you that chew.
I wouldn't expect Devin to work with less than three flours in a dough.
That was, I'll tell you what, when we were doing, of all the stuff, we did that was we put the most time into that dough. We would come in every day, we'd make a bunch of different pizzas, we'd make our notes, we'd make new batches of dough, and then we'd come back the next day. We did this one on for weeks, and oh man, I didn't even want to look at pizza.
I bet.
My goodness.
I bet. So let's start, Joey, in the mama's world, I assume that the recipe hasn't changed in 20, 30 years.
40
years.
42
years.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not about reinventing the wheel. We're finding that in the past 5 years, 10 years, so many people are doing things to set themselves apart, taking these risks. Which I really appreciate, but it's kind of left us on this island of one of the places that is sticking to what we've always done, that tradition.
Mm. Right.
And I think for me, I really try to, when it comes to ingredients, I always say, and I don't mean to dumb it down, but I always say, use the best stuff you can find, and if it's still not good, add salt. I think that it's about the people you're dealing with. So if a particular manufacturer is making flour and you know that they take pride in their product and you know that it's consistent, that's who you want to deal with. I can get, you know, Worcestershire from French's, or I can get it from Lee and Perrins. Mm. But Lee and Perrins cost twice as much and cost twice as much because they really care about what they're doing. I might want to use that product instead. So for me, it's about that quest to just stay on top of where I'm getting the purest stuff and the best quality of it, and managing that and the timelines that it's coming in. I don't want tomatoes that are out of date. You know what I mean? I want stuff that's in its prime, it's fresh, and I want to keep those things moving through.
What kind of tomatoes do we like on our pizza? What are you guys buying? What kind of tomatoes you guys get?
You know, it depends on what I'm doing. You know, if I'm doing a margarita pizza, I want a tomato that has a little bit less of the rind.
It's a little bit sweeter of a tomato. And then I might put a tomato on as well that has that rind on it. But for my New York, we do a New York style pizza. For that, I want to use a whole tomato. I want that rind because it's got that bite, and that bite's going to hold up when you cook it. It's not going to get as sweet as a tomato without the rind will after you cook it down.
Gotcha. Where do you want to take? Now that you're kind of the next generation of the Mama's owners, where do you want to take this place, this Mama's thing, the next 5-10 years?
You know, with the longevity that we've had, I think it's reasonable to assume that we could take it a little bit further. I want to take it as far as we can take it, and I think that means to expand, to build more locations. But we don't want to do that without the quality and the hands-onness that we have. So that's the balance.
Right. You know, managing multiple locations is always a challenge.
It is. And, you know, we've existed in this too big to be family-owned, too small to be corporate for a long time. It's really, we're in that challenging zone, and we've existed there. So we need to grow. And Tucson's growing. Not the big small town that it once was. It's turned into a little city. I think we see the signs of that all around us. So we want to take it to that next level, but without losing stuff. And I think that it's about growing at the right pace. Okay. You know, there is such a thing as too fast. You know, our pocketbooks don't think there's such a thing as too fast.
Well, procedures, policies, people, places, you got all kinds you think I consider.
Absolutely. And just making sure everything stays the same. You know, 40 years of doing things the same way, you don't want to be the one person that changes that. That's a big risk and kind of dishonorable.
Well, it's the balance, right? You have to do that, but at the same time, you do have to evolve to a changing market as things move on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you definitely changed your sauce recipe from when I was a kid. Your not pizza sauce, your wing sauce recipe.
Well,
we got about 20 seconds, so answer quickly, please.
You know, in the spirit of using better stuff is what it's all about. So if we're changing it, it's always for the better.
Thank you. All right. Joey, nice meeting you today. Mama's Pizza. And, of course, Matt from Fresco and Zio Pepe. Have a great Tucson Originals tomorrow.
Thank you for having us.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. It's going to be a free-forming pizza talk with Russell and McCluskey when we come back.
A little something from Survivor on S-Day.
Little Survivor caught in the game. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 Voice. Sean McCluskey.
You got Chicago. You got New York. You got a bunch of pizza guys in here. We're never going to shut up. We're just going to keep talking about pizza. There you go. Russell's closing the door. Look out. Finally got him to be quiet. 3 minutes too late.
Rocco did text me during our discussion about, because when we ended off talking about pizza stones.
Yeah.
He likes the pizza stone up top because it radiates the heat down.
Yes, but always put your pizza on the bottom rack.
I like how he uses that heat sink too, because the on his deep dish pies, because they're so thick, you know, you gotta get the middle of it cooked. So he uses a big old heat sink that he puts on top of the middle of it.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's the Rocco man. So McCluskey, Matt Russell, Christy Simone, heading into the closing two segments of Pizza Summit 27th annual. Give us a call if you have a pizza place that you like, 790-2040, 790-2040. We were just talking about, before the boys showed up, we were talking about making pizzas. I want to explain this cast iron thing. So it's America's Test Kitchen. You make your own dough, you know, and what you do is you get your oven to 500, right? Bottom rack again, you're going to cook it, right? And what you do is you throw your cast iron in there for about a half hour.
Get it screaming hot.
Screaming hot. Mm. And then what you do is before you're going to take it out and put your crust in it, you take your one of your stove burners and put it on medium to medium low. Maybe medium. Medium's fine. And then what you do is you take it out and you put it on there to keep it still hot. Slather the inside with olive oil. Mm. All right? Then you put your dough down into the
slather.
Thing.
So a respectable amount of olive oil.
Correct.
A tablespoon or so.
Because you want that oven fried.
Yeah.
Thing going on.
You want that like little Caesar's crispy crusty on the outside. Right.
You throw that sucker in, then do your toppings. You know, we do the Cento crushed tomatoes. You know, we'll season that up a little bit and then do your cheese and your toppings. Now, with the test kitchens, because the test kitchen guys, they always go that extra level of crazy, right? So what they tell you to do is to get a, you take some of your cheese and you push it up against the corner where the crust meets the metal.
Yep.
And then you get the frico.
Right.
Frico. Right. And then literally you toss it back in that oven for 5 to 6 minutes.
Done.
And you're done.
Yeah, sure. At that point, your dough's halfway cooked on the stove, and by the time you get it in the oven, you're melting the cheese, you get some brown crispy top, and your bottom's crusty and grilled, and oh my goodness, yeah.
It's the greatest thing I've ever used, the cast iron pizza. We used to barbecue pizzas on the gas grill.
All the time.
Right? And that's good, too, but this is better.
Yeah. Smoker's good, too. I use a Traeger. I know. I'm not a real man, because I got a pellet. I don't give a damn.
Oh, trust me. How many times do I put my slow cooker ribs, and then
and
all these...
rips you for not having a smoker.
You didn't spend 6 hours, Christian.
That guy who keeps changing his name, Kane Cooper, whatever, John Cooper.
John, how you doing?
Whatever his name is.
There's a reason for the name change, and it's a good one.
You'll have to tell me.
Protect the lives of the innocent.
But give us a call again, 790-2040. We'd love to hear about your favorite pizza place. So,
or your favorite pizza place that is no longer in existence. On the break, I asked Matt, I said, what's the one place that doesn't exist anymore that served like world-class pizza, and mine would be Zachary's on 6th.
And they were Chicago.
Oh, yeah, deep dish. No AC, swamp cooled.
Perfect.
Oh, you go in there, have a couple drinks, wait an hour to get your pizza, sweat out whatever you just drank, and then go for more.
Yeah.
What about you?
Pizza place that's no longer in existence? Well, the first place that came to mind when during the commercial break was place on like Broadway. It's a Kolb near Broadway called Dry River Pizza Company. I only went twice, but both times was memorable. But as I'm thinking about it, and it's still sort of hard for me to even put this name of a pizzeria into the category of no longer open. Right. But I, you know, my family and I, you know, went to Tino's Pizza for years, for decades, frankly, across from Trail Dust Town. You know, and Dino Chonis regrettably lost his fight, cancer, and passed away a couple of years ago, and the family closed the restaurant maybe 6 months ago or so. Yeah. But anyway, wonderful pizza, good, honest, decent, no frills, solid pizza, which we loved.
For me, I'm trying to think of places, you know, again, it hurt when Grimaldi's left for me, okay, because I did like Grimaldi's. Mm-hmm. Grimaldi's fresh out of the oven was excellent, okay? But then there aren't that many other places I thought, like, in my sphere, because I got spoiled. I was just telling the boys, when Nick opened up Arizona Pizza Company on Sabino Canyon and we lived there as New Yorkers, there was no pizza. Yeah, they over on Broadway, Swan and Sunrise used to be that backdoor pizza place. That was kind of, you know. And so we're like, oh, and then thank God this guy, Nick, opened up, because he used to work for, we were just talking about Charlie at Upper Crust on Grant and Campbell.
Yeah.
You know, and then he goes and opens up this place. It was his first pizza place he's ever done on his own. And
he was nailing it.
And he keeps, and the same quality has been what Nick's real thing. He has great recipes, right? But his real gift is somehow he is hiring and training managers, employees that still do it correctly and consistently.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? We've been going there since day one. I mean, for probably 10 years, I lived not even a mile north of AZP.
Right.
And so, you know, we've been like part of the furniture for a long, long time. Yeah. And the bar there is just a really cool space,
right?
That they kind of reimagined a few years ago.
No,
we love everything they're doing.
I will say this for certain: if you're in the pizza game and you're looking to expand, Mama's Joey, I hope you're listening. The Marana area could use a Rocco's. It could use a Rosati's on our side. It could use an AZP.
Yeah.
It could use something up there.
There is no good pizza place that I think of in Marana. You know, like,
no,
I said, Dominic's is a good Italian restaurant, a very good Italian restaurant that makes pizza, but just a place
that
makes pizza.
Trident makes good pizza up there. Rosati's is a pizza place, but they charge me a $5 extra delivery fee because I'm on the other side of I-10. I pay it all the time. But if I had another pizza place on west of I-10, you've got 8,000 houses up there. Swirl Blooms back there. There's another 5,000 houses there.
It's a good tip.
You would kill it. And we keep expanding. So we need some good pizza, Miranda. That's all. That's my SOS call. So
okay.
Give me somebody, please.
790-2040. Let's go to Al on line two. Al, you're on. You're entering the Pizza Summit. What's up?
All righty. This is it's an old one, Lazario's Pizza, across from Golf and Stuff. It was next door to Doc Holliday's. And in the old days, we used to go in there, we'd get baked, we'd go in there.
You mean the pizza would be baked?
You take it how you want. You had to use half of the napkin thing to soak up the oil slick from the pepperonis. And then when we got done stuffing our safe, we went over to the record store, Doc Holliday's right next door, and they had one of the biggest TVs for its day. And we'd sit there and watch videos for a couple hours until we were able to drive home.
What year was this, Al?
Oh, God, early 80s?
Late 70s, yeah.
Okay.
End of the 70s, early 80s, and it's not there anymore. And it was right by a fish store. So we kind of...
Wow, you had it all. Funny. Pizza, fish, and records all in the same spot. I love it.
Exactly. You guys have a great day. And Rocco, you do the best pizza and wings, man. It's just you're kind of far from the homestead.
Thanks, Al. All right, Rocco, thank you for saying that to Al. All right, 8:43 in the morning. You're on a Wake Up Tucson. Hey, ESQ, we haven't asked you yet. You got an opinion. You got a good taste. Where do you like to eat pizza? Is there any place you're missing in this world that doesn't exist anymore?
Sadly, Zachary's. I love that place. And 1702, sadly, just closed. Yeah. And hope Eric's doing well. And Squared Up Pizza, I don't think has gotten any love today.
Oh,
so,
that's true.
And you know, you turned me on to that place at the Park Place Mall. And gosh, where else? BZ's I like.
Squared Up Pizza.
Oh, BZ's, yeah.
Squared Up Pizza is, he's real deal.
I'm going to have to give it a try.
I haven't been.
You haven't, neither have I.
All right, field trip.
So, I love pizza, so he just pointed me in the right direction.
So hanging out with my buddy Mark from Tucson Games and Gadgets, right? So he's got a spot there. He's moving to a little bigger spot there. But we're talking about malls, right? And so a lot of these national retailers started pulling out. They started, you know, then, of course, with online sales. So then they started renting mall spaces to local entities. That's why all of a sudden there's a really good Filipino place.
Right.
Right at the Park Place Mall dining court. And now Squared Up Pizza, right? And Squared Up Pizza, again, the guy's out of Central Casting. So we've heard of Mario Batali, right?
Sure.
He's Mario Batali with a D. Oh, okay. God. So my brother and his Greek brother Zach went there, and they said, dude, real deal. This guy's out of Central Casting, blah, blah, blah. And I see him, and I go, hey, are you Mario? He goes, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, God, this is beautiful, right? And so when you get the pepperoni, it's peppered with pepperoni.
Perfect.
I mean, no... under supply of pepperoni. It's the real stuff. Matt's already doing the cupping. It's the real pepperoni that cups.
I gotta go. Yeah.
It's wow.
Another good tip.
It's wow. 790-2040. Let's go to Charles Heller. Is there a Second Amendment pizza someplace in the
I'm sure it would be well powdered. I come to you today though, seriously, on behalf of the Unburnt Pizza Foundation.
Oh my lord!
I think
lord.
That if you like,
there's
your pizza
a dump button.
Burnt,
yeah.
there's treatment for it. I mean, for God's sakes, guys.
It's not burnt. It's just called cooked. You have to get it right.
Char is not a food group.
Well, again,
security. Security
manager.
I am security.
Touche.
Where do you get your favorite underbaked pizza?
Not underbaked, but I do get it. I do go to Mama's and I ask them, "Don't overcook it. I want it warmed. I want it warm, not hot."
So, Charles,
I don't like to get burned on it.
Charles, do you go to these pizzerias that have what they call take and bake, where they make the pizza, but you got to go home and put it in the oven to bake it? Do you just sort of start eating that on the way home before you get it to the heat?
I have no room in my oven where I'm baking my gunpowder.
Okay.
All right. See you guys.
Have a cool
later, Charles. Have a good day. 790-2040 is the phone number. Matt Russell, Sean McCluskey, Christopher, ESQ. One more segment to go in the 27th annual Pizza Summit. Monday, Brother Joe, and then Dr. Neil's driving in from Pomerene. We're going to do the Summer Forest Fire reality show. Because, you know, we've been doing reality shows before Corona lockdowns, so... All right, I got to shut up. My favorite robot voice is coming up on Mr. Roboto for Sticks. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Ah, beautiful. Beautiful. 790-2040 is the phone number. The last segment of the Wake Up Tucson 27th Annual Pizza Summit. If you're working at the Bustos Media Empire today, there's plenty of lunch and dinner for you here today between pizza and thank you and chocolate pretzel cupcakes from the gluten gourmet girls.
Come in early, come in fast because that pretzel cupcake thingamabobby, wow, let me tell delicious. You what.
Oof. And then we have so much mama's swag.
Yes,
Matt Russell looks like he's in a nest. T-shirts.
I got a T-shirt and a hat and a pizza cutter.
Hey, he's got a high. Joey brought in some high quality pizza cutters.
Yeah, and these are cool.
These are the newfangled thing. Peyton loves using this one. It's the handheld wheel. It's got the protective top. It cuts through everything. Yeah, I make a nice crispy crust with mine. You just smack it on the counter and roll.
I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
We need a field trip to the McCluskey residence. There's a lot of unfinished business here,
it's
gentlemen.
It's true.
I mean, I'll babysit too. You know, I mean.
You know, it's interesting. I don't want to, when you were
gotta
talking
get past Peyton.
Yeah. When you were talking, thank you. When you talk about pickles in your pickle article coming up, right? One of the things for me with pickles is if I'm going to do like a really good all-American barbecue, right? And we're doing hamburgers and hot dogs, right? Get a good hot dog, right? You can get some of the homemade stuff from Kent.
Yep, natural casings.
You know, supermarket. Right now, Fry's, the best thing they sell is the Sahlers, S-A-H-L-E-R-S.
Okay.
They're a hot dog. Totally amazing.
You're not thinking about Salen, S-A-H-L-E-N?
I think it's, is that
okay.
Is
well, there's Salen? A Salen hot dog, which is from the Western New York, Buffalo area.
I think it's Sahlers. Okay. How do I feel like it's Sahlers? But maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. But when it comes to, so jarred relish in the end is crap. Okay. So hand chunking your own pickles to put on a hot dog, just it's a whole other level of dog.
I agree. You can't find decent stuff in the store. But yeah, plus it gives you more buy-in into what you're producing. You're thinking, okay, well, a hot dog is a hot dog. But I'm with you. I love a good relish. But that way you can do a coarse chop. You can tooth it up however you want, whatever texture you're looking for. I agree. Just do it right
now. And I like taking that and go 50-50 with chopped pepperoncini and throw that on.
Oh, dude.
Say a little pepperoncini goes a long way on there. Yeah,
yeah, nice.
Pay attention, coming up is 4th of July weekend. And when it does, last year Forbes Meat did $1 Forbes Burgers. And if you ever had a Forbes patty.
The price of meat was a lot different in those days.
Sure.
So if he comes up with a $2 burger,
if they're $2 or $4, it doesn't matter. These burgers are well over a quarter pound. They're huge. Yeah. They're all beef. They're 4-H beef. It's amazing. It's really good.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, I'm excited about his new place too. I mean, it's coming together, and I don't know what the ETA is, but
The Broadway construction, about the same timeline.
He's
fifth and ever.
So what, he's going to be what, 5 points area?
Yeah. And with a couple of other, I can't remember the name of the development, but there's a couple other. Doma is going to have a restaurant there. Yeah.
What's a Doma?
Doma, she used to run Hub Ice Cream across the street from Hub downtown.
Okay.
She's a star.
Yeah, she was a knife fight, one of the knife fight people at Gary Hickey beat her with her own ingredient.
Yes, which that's was, true. Yeah. And that's coming up too. So we got knife fight, we got Iron Chef, we got all kinds of fun thing happening on the food
pizza
scene.
Throw it on tomorrow. Tucson in the summer is always a good time.
Yeah.
It's getting there, right? We're coming back a little bit in relation to people coming out of their hobbit holes, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Take your mask off, live a little, and have some fun.
Yes, please.
We'll see.
I forgot what you look like. Please take that off.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for a wonderful time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always a good time.
You know, we pulled off 2 hours of pizza radio, which is just fine. I know I missed some of the news stuff. I know the big Roe v. Wade has now been reversed. Right, so that's going to happen. And as the Department of Homeland Security, you knew it was coming when the Department of Homeland Security told all churches and pregnancy centers that the domestic terrorism is coming your way.
Yeah, just watched it all unfold.
You knew that was coming. Yep. And then after our wonderful Monday night,
debate
that we had at the Star Dance, in the political notebook, it looks like Brandon Martin went to Tim Steller and cried like a baby and literally called Monday night's event a sham and a setup.
Does that help or hurt him?
I don't. Good question. Yeah. I mean, standing room only.
Yeah.
And it was my first time to the Sundance Event Center.
Star Dance. Sundance,
beautiful.
When you're hanging out with Redford.
Right. Beautiful part of town. Really nice building. But I waited in line
yep. to get in. I had pre-registered, and there was not an empty chair in the house.
Yep. No, yep. It was a great event. And, I understand why he's desperate, right? He's totally outgunned by Siskamani, right? Money-wise and otherwise. And then he's got people occupying his realm of Republicanism that are going to split the vote.
He's right? never had that before. He's always been that young lone gun, yeah. and now he's got competition in that space, and he doesn't like it.
Well, you ran against Leah, who was also but Juan's 10 times the candidate.
Juan is not as status quo as everybody says that he is. So that's what everybody's picking up on, and they're not saying that he's not part of the old money Republicans.
I've rarely seen a candidate that in this area that appeals to the money. And the base, and Juan seems to be able to bridge that.
Yeah,
one of the D's just started doing TV. Engel, I think her name is.
Yeah,
and she's it's I wouldn't call it saturation, but we know that she's spending a lot of money on TV. And if there ever was a clear choice,
yeah,
so do the right thing.
I will tell you that again. Both Engel and Hernandez both were pushing $1 million last time I saw in fundraising.
Yeah.
So she's spending Engel's trying to outgun Hernandez right now, and that's why she's spending on TV. She's trying to separate and get him to get out of the race. Yeah. She's trying to cut off his money.
Don't you think to the average Democrat that we got about a minute, Hernandez is much more likable than Kristen Engel?
Neither one of them are very likable.
Yeah.
And that's not being a Republican. That's just being truth. Yeah. Neither one of them are very likable in the Democratic world or Democratic world. Take whatever you pick, whatever way you want to take that.
Well, thanks for a nice pizza summit, guys.
Absolutely.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Pizza's better than cereal.
OnTheMenu.com, RVRTO.com, DSimoneHQ.com, ESQsTheBomb.com. So
we've got to go out of here with the Saddle City Band. Tucson Band trucking on into Tucson.
Right on.
All right, everyone have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Brother Joe and Dr. Neil on a summer forest fires update. Wake up.